Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Tonight's parable in our series is going to be Mark 4, 26 through 29. So if you guys want to go ahead and turn there, I'll let you guys go ahead and get that set up. It's the growing seed. Your other translations might say the growing of seed, but the growing seed is basically what we're going to go with tonight. So if you want to turn there, and as you guys are turning there, I just want to continue to relay what I feel like God's been laying on our hearts, especially as we've been studying these parables. It's important for us to understand what Jesus was saying whenever he was given the parables. I think we're all going, yeah. It's important for us to have wisdom, but it's especially important for us to understand how the kingdom operates and how the way heaven's supposed to work here on this earth. See, kingdom living requires understanding, and that's why we know some things are worth doing and others aren't, right? And it all depends on what the payoff is. See, I can tell you whether or not something's worth doing based on what I know the payoff is going to be. We all know this scripture, the wages of sin is death. I don't want death. That doesn't sound like something worth me doing. So I'm going to do my very best to keep sin out of my life. That's why we need Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins because the wages of our sin was death. That's the cost that we owed, but he paid that. So now we have life. See, we recognize that if a road that we are on could lead us to destruction and death, an earlier death, because everybody's appointed a man wants to die, so we're all going to die. We're going to die eventually. But we don't want it to be untimely. What good is that road? If a road that we're on would lead us to destruction in an area, would lead us to a place where we're going to experience loss and hurt and pain, why would we want to be on that road? We shouldn't want to be. And again, we understand if the return isn't worth the investment, why make it at all? And some of you are saying, well, that's pretty common sense. And I think you guys could agree with me. I don't think there's any such thing as common sense anymore, especially not in today's world. There's just not. Shelby and I were talking about endangered animals at a graduation party. A common sense has kind of gone the way of some endangered animals. It's hard to find. It's not common anymore. It's just sense now. It's endangered sense. We're looking for it. We're trying to find it. And these are things that we have to see that the church has answers for. The Bible has the answers to what people are looking for, the common sense things that are so full of power. But we who are Christians, see, if we're not careful with what we're investing in, with what we're sowing, we'll experience the bankruptcy of certain things because we're investing in areas where the payoff is not going to be worth what we're giving in our time, in our relationships, in our spiritual growth, in our integrity. See, bankruptcy happens when there's not been enough increase to cover your expenses. And when we start investing, when we start sowing in areas that aren't going to cover the expense of the endeavor of what we're doing, we find ourselves at a loss. We find ourselves in bankruptcy. And it's not just a monetary thing. That's what I'm trying to get you to see tonight. See, there's not been enough harvest. And God's people got to be the ones with the answers. All right? We can't afford, well, no one can afford to go bankrupt, but we especially cannot afford to be bankrupt in our societies because people are out there are desperate. They're looking. We need to be the example. We've got to have the answers. We need to teach these principles through the ways that we live. And, I like using stories. And my granddad had an incredible wisdom when it came to this particular subject. And it's a little bit, as Pastor Ashley calls it, Oklahoma-y. But I think it goes perfectly well with this. It's like two old boys wanting to sell watermelons. And they go to the store, and they buy watermelons for $2 a watermelon. And they go out on the road, and they sell them for $2 a watermelon. And at the end of the day, when they're counting up their money, they can't understand why They didn't make any money. So they get together and they understand, we just need to sell more watermelons. So they go out and they buy a bigger truck so then they can fill their truck up with more $2 watermelons so they can take and go sell more $2 watermelons. See, the endeavor there, the investment there doesn't answer the problem. What they are paying in isn't going to get them what they're looking for because what they're investing in isn't going to solve the problem that they're trying to make. And we can't be like that. See, we can't be in a position where we are in a perpetual state of toiling in vain, trying to produce something, whenever we don't understand that what we're sowing will never be enough to cover what we're putting into it. Y'all with me tonight? We can't be going belly up. There's no draw to that. See, Jesus is always our example, and Jesus drew people to himself. And Jesus didn't draw people to himself in a state of poverty. Now, I want you to hear me. I'm not talking about money right now. But he drew people to himself from a state of power. Okay? Now, hear me. I'm not just speaking about what drew people to Jesus wasn't because he was in a position. Well, hey, man, I don't really know if you want to listen to me about what I'm saying, but hey, No, he drew people to himself because of the authority that he had, and he sowed in people, I want to hear from Jesus. I want to hear him speak because I know that anytime he's there and he's around, man, things just happen. And see, and that is how we're supposed to be. People should see us walk in and go, oh my gosh, hey, good things are getting ready to happen. And so tonight, what I want you to understand is, there's a principle that God is setting up through this parable. And that's how it's been in all these parables. But tonight, as we study in Mark 4, 26 through 29, the parable of the growing seed, we need to see what we're sowing and understand how that works in furthering the kingdom of God. So, if you're not there, Mark 4, 26 through 29, I'm going to read it to you. Okay? Here we go. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. But the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Really quick, it has to be seen that the seed that is being sown here in the context is the same kind of seed that we talked about a few weeks ago whenever Mel got up here and talked about the parable of the mustard seed. And that's just right on there in the same chapter, just a little bit further down if you're reading in your Bibles or if you're in your app. Mark 4, 30 through 34. It's the next little passage of scripture. And it says, and he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God to? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. I'm not going to re-preach all that because Mel did an awesome job. If you missed that, go back and listen to what Mel said. However, for context's sake, I wanted you guys to see that and understand that the seed that we're talking about here is the kingdom of God, is sowing the kingdom of God. And even though the kingdom of God may start off real small in an area, it may seem real insignificant, it grows to be the largest of all the plants, just like it says right there about in the parable of the mustard seed. So, back to the parable that I'm talking about tonight, parable of the growing seed. See, we have to understand that what we are doing is sowing things. When we act, when we make decisions, we are sowing things in this world. And in this parable, the representation of this is the system of how the kingdom of God grows, matures, and then we harvest it. It grows, it matures, and then we harvest it. And we know this phrase, you reap what you So we understand that. We get that. But we have to see that this is a system that God put in place. See, the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of the ear. See, over time, what we do begins to grow. The choices that we make dictate the kind of growth that we experience. And here's the best part about this parable. The things that grow, it isn't dependent on us. The next part of that says, or the part right before that says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. Look, you need to understand. You don't have to understand. You need to understand. You don't have to understand. And get the principle here. You think that people that grew up around seeds and agriculture didn't understand how seeds worked? They got how a seed worked. You put it in the dirt, you water it, you take care of it, and then it grows. The concept of this is you may not understand the design behind how sowing something little can change your life forever. You don't have to. You don't have to understand. I'm trying to get you to understand this. You don't have to understand, but what you need to know is there's blessing in sowing that little insignificant thing because it's going to grow and it's going to produce. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will reap." I can't explain to you why whenever Hannah and I sowed money into the church that we couldn't afford, all of a sudden we had financial freedom. I can't explain. I don't understand it. I don't get how whenever I had a piece of metal go into my eye and shred everything up in there, why coming up and having somebody lay hands on me, now I can see out of that eye. I can't sit here and tell you how that happened. I can't explain to you how Hannah was told that we weren't going to be able to have a child, and we prayed about it, and how that triggered someone from my old hometown to call us and prophesy over, here's why you're not having a kid, you're going to find out that there's something bad that's going to happen, then all of a sudden in a month from that time, you'll be pregnant with your first child. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know how that happens. But what I do know is the process of sowing time and then harvesting. And that's what it takes. The seed grows in soil that's willing. It just does. Such tiny offerings, seemingly meaningless, that activate the magnificent. That's how God chooses to work. That's how he chooses to operate. And it's in the waking up, the going about your business, and then going asleep, and then going to work, carrying on about your business, that in that time, it grows. See, you don't have to sit there and waller all over the seed and just try to get it pumped up. Come on, seed, grow, seed. The system's already in place. Now, I'm not talking about petitioning God or prayer. We have, that's a separate thing. What I'm talking about is there is a system in place that you don't have to worry about. And you will reap what you sow. This seed is bigger than the seed of salvation. This parable is bigger than just what's the cross. It goes beyond the cross. It's everything after the cross. It's how the kingdom continues to function beyond in the day-to-day as we sow things over time. Eventually, we're going to reap a harvest. Just a little bit of context before we get into my points here. This parable would have been offered at a time as an encouragement to Christians facing persecution from the Romans. It would have reassured them that God's reign was coming to earth, even though it appeared to be small and invisible. You need to be encouraged tonight that although what you've been sowing may seem small and invisible, and you don't think that you can understand how this could possibly grow, don't give up. Don't quit. The system is in place. And everything in the kingdom of God is seed, time, then harvest. Everything. Are you wanting to reap freedom? Are you wanting to have a harvest of friendship? Harvest of breakthrough? Some crops grow like this and others don't. Some things grow really quickly. Some things take months. I don't know what you have tried to sow in and what harvest you're trying to get out of it. What I'm trying to tell you is don't give up. Don't quit. And at times, those seeds that you sow look like when you pay someone's way behind you at a fast food restaurant. When you pick up trash after service. You're just sowing seed in obedience. And that's going to produce. Two really quick things before we get into my 4 points. Two things that are not needed to reap a harvest, and one that you need to do. The first one, there's no extra flair needed when you're sowing seed. Doesn't matter if you go behind the back 3 times and then, or if you just plant it. There's no prayer that if you say it in an extra Christian voice that God's going to hear you more. You got to know that. It's just planting seed. And just because somebody sows seed like this and you don't really know, just sow the seed. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. There's no assembly required. It's just seed. No assembly required. It's just seed. Just put it to work and it'll grow. Just put it to work and it'll grow. Just put it where it needs to go and it'll grow. Those are the two things you don't need. The only thing that you need to know that you do need, if I haven't made that confusing enough, is you need obedience to sow the right thing in wisdom and keep sowing it. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Says, he who watches will not sow. He who watches the clouds will not reap. Get your eyes off of everything around you. Sometimes we're like the kids at the school. Get your eyes down on your pacework. Stay focused on the task at hand here. Don't fall asleep. Let's stay in it, and we're not going to miss our opportunity. People miss opportunities for harvest because it doesn't look like what they thought it would. Opportunity is missed by people because it's dressed in overalls and it looks like work. Thomas Edison said that. He's a pretty bright guy. But see, people look, oh God, just give me an opportunity to sow something that doesn't look like that one. Anything, God, Lord, I just... quit passing up opportunities. You're wanting harvest. We're going to actually have to do something, okay? So my 4 points tonight that we are going to take from this sermon going forward. The first one is you sow the seed, God creates the increase. You sow the seed, God creates the increase. The spectacular comes through you, but it's on His side. And it starts with the seemingly meaningless obedience. It's in the mundane. Sometimes we're guilty of saying, well, God, I don't know, God. You sow the seed, God will create the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6-8 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then that neither he that planted nor he that watered, but God is the one that gets the glory. See, I can only do what I've been tasked to do. I sow the seed. I don't create the systems. I can't tell you how the miracles come. I can't explain to you why the design that God chose to work through works. I just sow the seed. I sow the seed and He creates the increase. That's the first one. The second one is sowing seed isn't all the farmer does. Sowing seed isn't all the farmer does. There's a reason why you're not involved in the design process is because you have other things that we have to do. See, anyone who owns a farm or who has worked on a farm, you have more things that you have to do. Adam preached a message a long time ago about being more than a conqueror. Well, what's more than a conqueror? Someone who maintains. You have to be a maintainer. You have to take care of everything else. If all you're worried about is sowing seed, but you don't fix the fence to keep things out from stealing the seed, well then, well, I'm just sowing seed. That's what I'm just sowing seed. Well, you've not fixed the tractor that, well, I'm just sowing seed, but you never water it? You have to understand there's a reason why we have jobs to do. There's a reason why there are things that we have to focus on. And again, it kind of goes with what I kind of said in the first point, but understand there's more to what we're doing here. All the time, I'm constantly learning from Pastor Ashley just how far I am from being accomplished. But seriously, I'm learning all the time, 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set example for believers in speech, conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. Well, I'm supposed to get up here and preach. Who cares what my office looks like downstairs? I'm supposed to preach. Who cares if I was supposed to unlock the door at that time and they were supposed to come in there? See, eventually, what will happen is if all you do is focus on the one thing, that you're going to discredit yourself in other areas and no one's going to receive from you in the area that you're trying to sow in. It doesn't matter. Here's an example for you. Think of a restaurant that you love to eat at, one of your favorite restaurants. You go there all the time. And then you go to the bathroom, and one of the cooks comes out from the stall and just walks right past the sinks and goes right on back out. Are you going to go back to your table and go, can't wait for my meal? This is your favorite place to eat at now. Or is what that chef, whose job it is to cook the food, by missing something on the side, are you going to get up? We ain't eating here. They don't wash their hands here. That's nasty. You're going to discredit yourself in other areas if all you focus on is just sowing the seed. We have to understand there's more things we have to do. There's more maintenance around that has to. Y'all get me? Y'all nodding your heads. I think you guys are getting me. Okay, third point. Harvests don't fit in the microwave. It's not delivery. It's the process. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We reap what we sow. Some things that we sow grow quicker than others, but not everything comes quickly. I want Joan to be a godly woman when she's my age. She's 3 years old. That harvest is a long time coming. I can't just be like, well, sure wish God would make Joan act like a grown woman right now. She's 3. I've got to train her. There's more sowing that has to happen. There's other goals along the way that we've got to get to before. I sure wish people would stop letting my past affect me. You were a jerk all your whole life leading up to, you just got saved. People, give people time. Why don't you do a few things to let people know that you're not going to punch them in the face whenever you approach them? Give people some other examples to wipe the bad taste out of their mouth from the last time that you dealt with them. And what you'll do is you'll begin to sow in them. Oh, I respect that person. I trust that person. And again, understand this message, this is to be hope and encouragement. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work, everybody say a good work, a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Who began the work in you? Jesus. Who's carrying out the good work in you? Jesus. As long as we're not giving up, we're not growing weary in well-doing, he's going to continue to have the right, because you're letting him in, to work that out in you until the completion of the day of Jesus. I love what this says here in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The best crafted things are made with attention to detail and a caring about the end result. God doesn't look at you and go, I'm tired of spending time on this. Let me go start a new one and get this done faster. He is involved in the process. He wants to see it completed in you. You are the craftsmanship of his hand. He looks at you with joy, and he is excited to see the harvest come in your life. You're going to get better at this. Whatever you're trying to sow, you're going to get better at it, as long as you don't give up. Don't let something else come in. But wake up every day, go about your business, sow what you're supposed to sow, go to bed and sleep. And wake up and the next day, sow it again. And over time, what you'll begin to see is, man, I've got harvest like I've never believed in this area of my life. Your harvest won't fit in a microwave. You can't get that thing to pop out. Give it some time. Give it some time to mature. And the last point I want to give tonight is, don't miss the harvest because of the mundane. People waste so much time trying to understand whenever they could just be acting in obedience. Well, is this really... And the reason why is because it doesn't look like as spectacular as... See, we have to understand that opportunities are just flying by us because we continue to look over the work. Luke 9:62. Is it not written in Luke 9? Jesus replied, "No one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." I had that right. Luke 9:62. It didn't sound right for a second. Sorry about that. We can cut that out. No one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. To me, what this means is, you got in the middle of that work. You got in the middle of that. You got in the middle of the first turn around. You're going, whew. This is a lot of work here. Where's my warm fuzzy feeling where I started off? We fresh out of warm fuzzy feelings. Fresh out. Let me tell you, whenever Pastor Ashley has me outside sweeping those rocks off the pavement, fresh out of warm fuzzy feelings. It's not the warm fuzzy feelings that keep me going at that point. But let me tell you something. It's the idea of a big picture of what I'm sowing. Whenever this place looks great, when people come here, they're going to want to come in and go, man, I think I can receive from this place. Man, look at the way this place looks. Oh, well, that's not what it's about. We're a church. It's about preaching. It's about... You're missing what you're sowing. And the little bit that you are trying to sow, no one's ever going to hear how great you are. Because they can't get past the... You have to get to the point that what's driving you isn't the warm, fuzzy feeling, or it's the, you have to have a mindset of, what is my harvest going to be? What are we trying to grow here? Because let me tell you something, that plow, that's hard work. It takes a lot of hard work sowing seed, especially if it's going to be enough harvest for you to actually take care of some things and bless some people. Anybody can grow one tomato plant. Well, I can't. But one tomato plant's real easy to grow if I'm just trying to feed myself. But if I'm trying to take care of a lot of other people, there's a lot more work. I got to plant a whole lot more tomato plants if I'm going to want to take care of more. What kind of a harvest are you trying to grow? Who are you trying to affect? Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Because the mundane looked like it was too much work. Get a hold of the big picture. Think about that restaurant. Don't discredit yourself before other people because you're not taking care of the little things. I want to end with this. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you." What are you trying to harvest? What are you wanting to harvest? Then you better examine what you're sowing. Well, I want corn. Well, you're sowing tomatoes. You're never going to get corn. I want friendships. Well, you're hateful and spiteful. It's going to be real hard to make a friend. Sow what you want to reap. And here's the thing. We all understand how seeds work. You may not understand the design behind it. You may not understand why. But the miracle that you're trying to see come into your life, the harvest that you're wanting to take a hold of, it will be worth it if you stick with it. And it'll be something that produces not just for you, but for everybody around you. And just like the mustard seed, the kingdom of God will grow and grow and grow and grow. And as people see you not in lack, just as they saw Jesus Christ not in lack, they'll go, "I really want to hold of some of that Christianity stuff because right now I'm at a loss. In every single area of my life, I'm bankrupt." But I'll tell you who's not bankrupt: my Christian friends, my Christian family. They've always got the answer. They've always got more than enough. That's because we serve the one that has more than enough. Yeah. Hannah says it all the time. He starts in the overflow.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.